T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
You got it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is Grant Cameron, and I welcome you. Thank you for taking time from your valuable schedule to listen to me. I've got a very interesting guest today, Alan McGargle, who I saw a lecture that he had given at the Ozark Conference. I've spoken at Ozark a number of times. I'll get him to talk. We'll talk a little bit about the Ozark Conference. But he had a very unusual story about Sasquatch, and I'm writing a book. It was going to be called the Super Bowl, but someone told me I better change the name. I'm going to get sued, so it's going to be called The Big Game. And it basically looks at the paranormal phenomena. What I've done after 50 years of looking at all the different paranormal phenomena, I've sort of realized that there's these crossovers that you think, well, you go down one road and you think that's it, and all of a sudden, suddenly you got something else. You got orbs, and then you got Sasquatch, and you got. And you start to wonder, I wonder if this is all linked together. It's all the same thing. And Alan's going to tell a story, a very interesting story. He's going to share a screen and talk about his research. And I guess you're prominently Sasquatch. That's your primary.
I mean, I call myself a paranormal investigator because it's just everything now. It's all in one big pot.
That's where we got to go. We got to go. It's all this one pot, and we can realize that whatever the intelligence is, it has all sorts of ways that it seems to present itself. And I have a theory. Well, I won't get into it now, but this theory, wow, where they just want you to go, wow. They're just doing these weird things that make you wonder what's going on. And science advances through awe and curiosity. If there's no awe and curiosity, nobody's going to investigate anything. So that's what they want you to do. They want you to get really curious, and they're putting the breadcrumbs down, and they're forcing us to do the investigation. So Alan's going to talk about a case, and it involves cattle mutilations and Sasquatch. And I found this very interesting because I do talk about Sasquatch in my book. And my very first case, back in the days when I started in 1976, I was called in to do a Sasquatch investigation. There's been a couple of small ones, but I really didn't investigate them. People had told me stories in my area. But the thing to remember is I have always had a different view of Sasquatch because I live in an area where the national tree is the telephone pole. There are no trees here. I mean, except in the city. I live in the flat plain of Canada, right in the middle of Canada on the prairies. It's all wheat farms, except for maybe a farmer putting in a row of trees to catch the snow. And it's completely flat. It's the flattest, one of the flattest areas in the world. It used to be a lake bottom, so it's very, very flat. And we always have this joke: you can let your dog go and watch him run away for days. It's that flat, and there's nothing there. And I was called into an investigation with a woman that had a Sasquatch looking in a window, a 9-foot window off the ground. And the tracker brought me in and showed me this little hedge of trees in a creek in behind the house. And this thing had gone up and into the, it done the classic breaking of the branches as it went into these trees, into the middle of this clearing. And it was very heavy, hard packed snow. And the footprints went into the middle of the circle, and then they stopped. And from that on, I thought, it's just the UFO let this thing out to go to the bathroom, and then picked it back up again, because There was no doubt this was something very, very bizarre. It was not like the, say, the northwest of the United States, where you've got trees to hide. And there's no trees to hide. If you're a 9-foot Sasquatch, you ain't hiding here. There's no way. So I've always had a different view. And then when I saw Alan was going to talk about this case that he talked about at Ozark, I was absolutely fascinated. And I decided that I would bring him on because I think everybody should hear this case. It's very, very bizarre. Very, you don't know what to make of it, but it is, I think Alan will say it basically caught his attention and made him go like, what the heck's going on here? So welcome, Alan. And I appreciate your coming on to tell this very unique story and talk about your research, some of the other research that you do. So whereabouts to start, whereabouts are you in the country, in the United States?
I'm in the front range of the Rocky Mountains here in Colorado.
Oh, so you're in the big area. That's why I was wondering when I saw the catamulation. Yep. Whether you were in that that area where the mutilation and how long are we talking about ago this case happened that you investigated?
Boy, it would have been during COVID, so it was 2020, 2021, somewhere in there. Yeah, it really started in 2019, I would say.
Okay, so let's go first a little bit about Ozark, because Ozark is one of the places I think that a lot of people really don't know that much about. Everybody knows about Alien Con, and they know about Consciousness Life Expo, all the big California conferences. But Ozark, I always tell people, if you get a chance to go to Ozark, I mean, this is a beautiful little town in Arkansas. They get they used to have 700-800 people. I don't know what they get now, but it is this sort of area where there is no conferences in that area. It was always really well done. It's been running for about 30 years. The same people go every single year. A fascinating place. So talk about your impressions of Ozark and what happened there for you.
Yeah, so I didn't know what to expect either. It was my first time to Eureka Springs, and like you said, it's a beautiful town up in the Ozarks. You're the whole town sort of built in the side of the mountain there, and it's such a unique and very, very interesting place. And as you mentioned, the conference is very, very well put together. I think there's some local city people that help run it, but we were treated fantastic the whole time we were there, and the crowd was perfect. We had a lot of good people there. Great questions. We got to meet a lot of really great speakers ourselves, and we were like, we were big fans, there as well. We were just taking it all in. So it's a fantastic place. I hope to make it back there again someday soon.
Beautiful. And you were lecturing with your partner. Tell me about the relationship with you and your partner that was lecturing with you. There's two of you.
Yeah. His name's Ron Meyer. He's actually my father-in-law. Oh, okay. We've been working on Bigfoot stuff now since about 2019. I've been working on Bigfoot paranormal for decades now, but we got together and started partnering on some things. We started making a Bigfoot film, and we went out to Oregon to the Owl Moon Lab with Tobe Johnson. I don't know if you've heard much about that, where they sort of have everything in the sun going on all in one place. And we were actually taken there by our good friend Tom Powell, who's another researcher who's really into this paranormal side of things. And he introduced us to some mediums that we worked with out there in Oregon. And our movie ended up becoming The Bigfoot Alien Connection Revealed, because we uncovered so many unique things that we couldn't fit it under the Bigfoot umbrella. So that whole film kind of looks at the angle of, is Bigfoot an alien? Is alien a Bigfoot? And since then, we've taken that even further. And we now believe that all of these things are probably connected in some big way. And it's more of a, how does it present itself, rather than it being something different.
Are you working on a project now? You do the film, and where can they find the film? Is it on Netflix, or where can they pick it up?
If you look up my name on Amazon, you'll find all my films on there. I probably have about 12 on there now. With more coming. Yeah, we've got two or three projects in the works. We're talking about other ones, so we're always busy working on something for sure.
Okay, so what kind of film stuff have you done?
I've done quite a few films on Bigfoot. I've done a few on haunted ghost type things. Yeah.
Wow. That's fascinating. You've been doing that for how many years?
I think the first film was 2015, so almost 10 years now we've been working on that.
Oh, good for you. We'll have to get into ghosts and that kind of stuff as well. Like the apports, have you run into that kind of stuff? The apports and the orbs and all
Oh,
of
yeah.
the, wow. And so, wow, this is going to be good. Okay. So, and how did Eureka Springs find out about you guys?
So we did a film, and this is what we're going to talk about today, called The Alien Contact in the Rockies. And it's basically, my father-in-law has 40 acres of raw wilderness up in the Rocky Mountains, near Estes Park, Colorado. And we got the idea to try to see if Bigfoot was there. And we ran into some people that, lived in this area that told us that yes, Bigfoot is there, and they've been interacting with them. So it was sort of the thread to start this research, and it kind of took off from there, and that really showed us that we're dealing with something unpredictable that will, just when you think you've got it figured out, it throws you another curveball. So it's to the point now that we've bought additional equipment now, and we go out with enough gear that we could find a ghost, we could find a Bigfoot, we could find a UFO, and a lot of times we find them all at the same place, same night.
Wow. Okay. Two points on there. The Estes Park, that's where the famous haunted room is. The
Stanley Hotel. Yep.
Yeah. From the Shining. So, have you ever done anything there, or have you looked into that? Is that right?
Oh wow. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I know.
I spent the night in that room, and
oh, you did.
Wow. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
14 or whatever it is. I was there with Paula Harris, and there was a big tour going on there. So I never got to see the inside of the room. There, the tour was actually outside the room at the time, but it's quite a famous thing. And the other thing you mentioned, what I think is significant to point out to people, is where you were. This 40 acres. This is not like somebody's going to say, well, the government went in and mutilated a cow or something. This is the middle of nowhere, and nobody goes there. It's like wilderness. It's not like in some guy's farm outside of a town or something.
No, absolutely. It's up there. It's an old dirt road that used to be the main road up to Estes Park, but now it's gated in a couple places. If you're not a landowner up there, you don't have a way in. So there's two gates to get up there. There's probably maybe 10 different lots of landowners in that area. So there are some other people that have access to it, but it's not open to the general public, and people are pretty good about staying on their plot of land and not roaming around too much. So it's a pretty controlled area that we had to work with.
Yeah. And that's what you want. That eliminates a lot of explanations. So let's sort of get into the story. And just before you do, explain for people, there'll be a lot of people who do the Bigfoot Sasquatch thing, but there may be the odd person who really doesn't understand they're into something else. Explain what a gifting field is and that whole process. And then if you want to share screen, let's go through the story of the Colorado incident that I'm so excited about. Well, I'm not. not something to be excited about, but it was pretty bizarre when I saw you guys describe this thing. It was
we're pretty excited about it, so I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Yeah. So when we were in Oregon filming for the Bigfoot Alien Connection Revealed, and we went to the Owl Moon Lab, we learned from Tobe Johnson and from our good friend Tom Powell about this thing called gifting, and the whole idea is that you identify an area where you believe Sasquatch will either inhabit or interact with or visits or however they may come to be there. And you leave some sort of gift out for them. And the theory is that they will come and interact with that gift and possibly take it and leave you something in return. And that's what was happening out there. It actually got to the point out there where they created a little message board with little magnetic letters and things. And they were actually communicating with English words with these creatures, and it was being done in such a way that they left no trace behind. Like there was no impressions in the ground. It was almost like the Bigfoot appeared over this area and interacted some way and then left.
Have they filmed this? Did they document this? Because if you're familiar with the Bob Bigelow thing at the ranch.
Sure.
When they asked him what was it all about, he said it was about communication. It was about gift. It was about gaming and communication. And they had the thing with the jacks. where they would put the jacks out and the ball and the jacks and the whatever the phenomena was would move them around and yep. they played these little games. So it's the same sort of thing. So did these people Absolutely. Document this? Because I've never heard about this before.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're Tobe wrote a book that has a lot of audio clips in there. They've got some video. They recorded this craft in the sky one night, just over the area where they do the gifting. And what was unique about it was cylindrical, but the center, you could literally see it going like this, like pulsating in and out. It was the most unique UFO video I'd ever seen. So yeah, absolutely. I think Tobe has a book, Owl Moon Lab, on Amazon that you can read all about it. Highly recommend it. It was a fantastic way to kind of stick your foot in this crazy world.
Yeah, it's a world I've spent a little bit of time in. How many investigators do you think there would be in, say, in the United States in terms of Sasquatch? Do they have their own events conferences and stuff?
Oh, for sure. There's tons of us. Yeah, and they have the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization that has probably anywhere from 5 to 12 investigators in every state. So
wow,
there's a lot of us out there. Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Okay, so let's go through this, and then you'll have to give me the bottom line of how you see reality. What's really going on here? Who are we dealing with? And yep. and what's their message? I guess would be one of the main things. So,
sure, and I will say that this was sort of near the beginning of where we are now. So we're rewinding a little bit, and I have some thoughts that go well beyond this story even. But this story was very important to me because this is when I started to realize that it's real and we can do things that we didn't know we could do. So yeah, we got this idea for the gifting. We met someone that was one of the landowners in this area. They had a Bigfoot sticker on the back of their car. So we were like, hey, well, what's going on there? And they're like, oh yeah, no, they're for real. We're just down the road from your plot. We gift them, we interact with them, we see them all the time. So we thought, okay, we're gonna do something up here. So we called the landowners association and got this guy's number. And we called him up and we said, hey, we're going to do a film about this up there because we think this is really important. You know, will you talk to us? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen anything. None of this ever happened. And he completely clammed up. So then we really knew that we had something going on. So I had purchased this sort of a Native American drum that was made by Tobe Johnson's girlfriend. And it's got an elk hide stretched over a frame. And then they painted their Bigfoot logo on it. But what's interesting about it is the elk hide was prepared in a solution of energy crystals and Sasquatch hair that was collected from the Owl Moon site. So this drum may have Bigfoot DNA in it. So I had to have it, and I bought it, and I brought it home. And every time we call it the land, I would get out of the car and I would beat that drum 3 times just to let the Bigfoot know that it was us and try to make some sort of connection. So we picked a location that was closer to the road, so we didn't have to hike as far, but it was off the road enough that we knew no one would find it. And it was this little cubbyhole tucked between these rocks. And we started a little gifting site. Let me try to bring up a photo here. This will be our first time trying this, so hopefully it works.
Okay.
Can you see that?
Looks like it's coming. It says, oh, here we go. Okay. Yeah. It's beautiful. Beautiful
photo. Yep. Okay. So this was our first gifting site. So what we've got here is there's some rocks above this. You can't quite see in the photo, but this is kind of tucked back in there. Nobody would find this. It's even hard for animals to get back under there. I got a little Bigfoot crossing sign, a little wooden sign there I put there, and I'm having fun with it. There's no rules for this. Yeah. And we have sort of this old milk type jug, glass jug, and we put some feathers inside. And the thought being that if something came along and could take these feathers out, we knew it had to have hands to be able to pick this up.
Oh, good idea.
Yep. So this was there for quite a while, and we made some attempts and we came back and nothing was really changed. And eventually we came back and the jug was knocked over, but it was knocked over kind of more towards the back. Yeah. And the bottle was empty. So we got very excited and we started looking around. And again, you can't tell from this picture, but below this gifting site is some more rock, and there's some cracks in the rock. And as I'm sort of looking around to where the feather might be, it was perfectly placed in this crack so that I could find it, but it was sort of hidden from the world, you know. So we were able to kind of piece together that, yes, we had an interaction.
Okay.
So I'll close this for now.
Beautiful.
So that was the first indication that, okay, we have something going on here. So then another thing that we picked up from Oregon was the use of these dowsing rods or divining rods. And it just basically two pieces of copper that are sort of bent and you hold them. And the idea is that if you hold them loosely enough, they will potentially interact with paranormal beings or energy sources or things like that. So what we were looking for was a sort of a gateway for these creatures to come in and out of our area. We started to believe that interdimensional was a real possibility here, because we were finding in this area, we were finding these strange footprints that just started out of nowhere and they would go to nowhere. So you're thinking to yourself, how is this possible? A bear just doesn't jump out of the sky and run for 100 yards and then jump back into the sky again. So
yeah, something very unique
is going on. So we were asking questions, you know, like, where is the doorway or the portal? How can we get there? And they kept pointing to this area that was on the other side of the river, and it was hard to get to. And we were kind of struggling with
And who was pointing to this area?
The dowsing rods were.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that you had that in the film. Yeah.
You would be kind of pointed here with them, and you say, "Where's this doorway?" And they would kind of swing like this.
Yeah.
It was in a spot where we didn't want it to be there, because it wasn't fun to get over there. So, yeah. We had found these piles of bones. There was four different piles of bones, and we were convinced that that was where the doorway was, but the dowsing rods kept telling us otherwise. So eventually I got up enough motivation to cross that stream, and it's, you know, it's pretty straight up on the other side. So I get over there, I'm by myself, the rest of the team stayed behind because they weren't emotionally ready to handle that journey. And as I started up, it was probably maybe a couple minutes into that ascent that I got this massive sharp pain just across the side of my face, and I could barely see, almost like a migraine, and my eyes are watering and everything is blurry and very, very disorienting. And I just kept walking and kind of powering through it. And eventually it went away. And obviously in hindsight, you look back at that and you go, what was that?
Was
the coincidence? No, I don't think so. So anyway, I get up to this area, and there's this large outcropping of rocks, and I'm using the dowsing rod. Where's the doorway? You know, it's pointing here. And as I'm walking around these rocks, it keeps pointing to the biggest, tallest rock in there. It's the one I can't get to, you know, I can't get on top of it. So I'm like, of course. So I was discouraged and I left that day, and I came back a few weekends later, and I managed to get up there. I climbed up there, not quite sure how. And I get up to the top of it, and I was very surprised to see that there was a hole about this big carved in the top of it. And, you know, my first thought is, there's the portal, because it looks just like, you know, it looked like a teleporter. Like, it looked big enough that I could stand in there.
Yeah.
You know, you might only be that deep, but it was wide enough that it would encompass my, I was like, oh my gosh, here it is. So, you know, I'm trying different EMF meters and things, and nothing's happening, and it was all overgrown. So I was like, you know, I don't know. Maybe we found something, maybe we didn't. So we kind of fizzled out that year after that. It had been a while since we'd been up there. That was sort of in the early summer. And I think it was November. We just, out of nowhere, we just said, we got to go up there. You know, I don't know why, we haven't checked on in a while. Let's go see what's happening up there. So we pull up and we walk down to our gifting site, and we had a gift. All right. it wasn't a cow, it was a deer, but it was an animal mutilation. All four legs were broken clean. Some of the bone marrow was missing out of some of them. There was no head whatsoever. It was just this pile of meat, basically. But then as we started to kind of really look it over, we noticed a couple things. One was the area wasn't disturbed at all. There's shrubs all around that area. It's literally in the middle. You have to move branches to walk into there. Nothing's disturbed. Like nothing that wasn't dragged there. There's no way. There was no marks. There was no nothing. The other thing that was interesting is there was no blood. I mean, what we're looking at would have caused a tremendous amount of blood loss, heads being removed and things like that. Not a drop, nothing on the ground. And then we noticed that just like these typical cattle mutilations you see, the hindquarters were cut open almost like with precision. And you could see where some things were missing. So it was exciting and shocking. And at first we weren't sure what to make of that. Is this telling us, you know, you're messing around with stuff you shouldn't be messing around? And we came to the determination that we didn't feel that way. We really think that this was a special gift, even though it was shocking. It was put there like it was dropped out of the sky just for us. And the fact that it was, I mean, when you're standing where the mutilation would have been, you'd be looking directly in between those rocks at my bottle and my gifting site. It's literally 3 feet from there. Wow. So the coincidence is just, it's too overwhelming. This is too much to be just coincidence. So we took some photos and stuff, and we got talking to some people. We showed it to our friends in Oregon, and they said, you got to go back there and take EMF measurements. You need to do some measurements. So we went back, and I took some EMF measurements, and it was a very, very elevated EMF in that area. So I put a trail camera up, and I thought, you know, if anything, it'll be fun to watch the wildlife come up and pick at this carcass. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see some bear or mountain lions or whatever. So we came back and we checked the trail camera, and there was some, we had a fox and there was a bobcat, but the thing that we noticed was they would walk towards the carcass and then they would turn and walk away. So none of them were touching it. Nothing was picking at it, which we thought was really peculiar. There's a free meal and nobody wants it. You know, what's going on with that?
And no insects as well, I think you mentioned, right?
Yeah, there was the carcass hadn't really deteriorated much at all at this point. And we're maybe probably three weeks since we found it. So I pulled the trail camera and I'm looking at it up at the car. I have my laptop with me, and there's these three clips out of all the clips are perfect day and night. There's animals, you know, birds flying through the shot, all kinds of things. But there's these three shots that are all white static. And I thought that was really weird because I've never seen that before. So we took them, brought them back home, and we took them to my father-in-law's studio. And we had his editor and his professional video guy kind of start to work on them. And he inverted them and tried to make the colors pop. And the first photo, you can make out this dome shape. And we started to think about what we were looking at, and it looks like a portal. It literally looks like the dome of a portal. And then the next video, we see this something move. So as we worked with the video, we got a couple screen grabs where you can see some sort of creature. And I don't know what it is. Let me see if I can bring this up here.
Yeah. Have you got a picture of the mutilation, the deer
thing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
This one, there's a couple here. It's a little graphic. So
yeah.
Warning for folks here.
As they all are. I think that's what they want you to. Yeah. So I said to Linda one time, I said, Linda, you know, I take all the blood out of the cow or do stuff like that. Why? I said, they want you to take photos. That's what they want.
So can you see that?
Yes, that's pretty clear, yeah.
Yep, so that's this. Can you see my cursor too or no?
Yeah, I can see it moving around, yeah.
Okay, so this is where the head would have been, I believe.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, and there you can see clearly there's no blood. There would be drops of blood
around. Yeah, and then here's sort of a wider shot. Yeah, you can see in the legs are broken off over here, but there's no kind of disturbed area here or anything. It's just sort of this pile of meat dropped here. Okay. And then here is the little creature. It's right here.
We're still on the first photo. You got to, I think you've only shown the one photo here. I don't know.
Oh, I see. Excuse me. Sorry about that.
No problem. Yeah, maybe you got to close that and open another one. I'm not sure. Weird.
We'll get it here.
This share screen, it didn't used to do this. And when I had share screen, when people do it, it's like, it would just, there. Okay. Yeah. It's a wider, that's the wider shot.
Yep. There's the wider shot. You can see the legs are kind of over here. It's hard to tell. It's sort of just a big pile of meat here. And there's some where the neck, I guess, would have been over here.
And it's sort of pretty open that an animal could get to it. It's not like the animal couldn't get to it if the fox wanted to go or.
Oh yeah, they would walk right towards it and then walk away. It was really strange. And we have video of all this. You can see it in the film that we have, the Alien Contact in the Rockies film. It's so here. Can you see this?
Yes. This is the.
So this is the creature here that we picked up, and it looks like a brontosaurus or something with a really long neck, but I would say it's probably the size of a small dog. So it was very tiny, but it starts off screen. It whips this long neck into screen, and then it it's off the screen again. So this is just one little screen grab of what we found.
And that was a couple of weeks after.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
And then we also found one other clip that we were able to isolate. And this one is really interesting too. Let's see here.
Wow.
So this one's, again, about the size of like a large cat, small dog. But what's interesting about it is it never fully materialized. It looks like it's almost...
Oh yeah,
partially there and partially not, and it kind of looks like it almost has like a pig nose of some sort, almost like a little baby cow or something. But I mean, we're talking this would only be a foot tall, maybe, you know.
Yeah, it does. It does look like the middle is missing out of it.
Yeah, and it was like that. It kind of waffled around and then it was gone.
Wow.
So.
And what was the thing? What was the thing about the dream? You mentioned the dream was connected to these creatures. Someone had the dream. Was that you?
Oh, so yeah, it was my father-in-law did a sort of a meditation on site there, and he when he kind of closed his eyes and he just had this rush of vision of all these different little creatures running around everywhere. It was really strange. So I don't know what we.
And he thought they were familiar. So he said these were familiar to what we saw.
They were like similar size and shapes. Yeah. And there was various just things he'd never seen before that were just kind of flooding through his mind.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Wow. So after seeing the dome in the trail camera, which I tried to find a screen grab of, but I don't think we had one. We went back with the some more equipment, and I was actually able to verify that there was a dome shape of electromagnetic energy. And as like I could stick the meter outside of it and then bring it back in, and it was just sort of like this dome shape of energy. And as we monitored the site through probably the next 6 months or so, it got less and less until eventually there was no energy left at all. So to us, it seemed like a big event happened. It left an impression that eventually faded over about 6 months.
And what happened to the carcass?
Eventually, the carcass got, you know, it started to break down, and eventually some wildlife started to pick at it and things like that. And the last time we were up there, which would have been late fall of 23, there was one bone left. So it's all been kind of dispersed now.
That would sort of match with the energy, that as the energy decreases, the animals will come in until the energy is down and the animals will act normally.
Yep.
That they're picking up on the energy. Would that be a good theory?
Absolutely, yeah. And then one other thing we noticed when we were up there this year, this all of this took place in, I believe, 2020 into 2021. So when we were up there this year, we took some more measurements just for fun. It had been a while since we kind of played around there. And I got a pretty good level of electromagnetic interference in the ground. So there's still something there, but it's under the ground now or in the ground. So
have you heard from anybody about this type of EM energy around other mutilations or other Sasquatch sites or anything like this? Does it match anything that anybody else is finding?
Well, you know, I think they've had some things like that at Skinwalker Ranch. We've been experimenting with it now. So we've had other incidences where we've been able to measure EMF and what we would call a cold spot, which again, we believe it may be linked to some sort of interdimensional type portal.
You mean like a cold spot, like a ghost type thing where you have a drop in temperature in a certain area? No.
I mean, similar, but now we're talking a defined circle of cold air.
Oh, wow.
Really cold air. You know, like it might be 50, 60 out and we're looking at single or, you know, 17 degrees or something like that. So,
and are you able to measure this in terms of exactly the size of it and where it is?
Yeah. I mean, we're able to detect it with thermal imaging. Getting exact measurements of it is kind of difficult because we don't know exactly how far away we are from it. We can't see it. So that makes it a little tricky, but you know, and we've been detecting these things. We've probably found three or four of these now, but we've been detecting them in areas of high strangeness, you know, areas where they've had Bigfoot sightings and UFO sightings and paranormal things happening. So there seems to be a correlation to these hot spots or cold spots or whatever you want to call them.
And that happens in ghosts as well, right? The cold spots.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, for sure.
And you probably know that the incident at Skinwalker Ranch with the three Special Forces guys, that's what they ran into, was this cold spot. But they reported this sense of fear. Have you ever had that? I had that in 76. I had that. Something comes in close and it's described as the scariest thing you can possibly imagine. Have you ever run into that? Almost like a force field of this fear that overcomes people?
I've run into the force field, but for me, this has never been a fearful activity. I've never been scared. I've had many, many close encounters, many paranormal, many emotional encounters, but none of them have been fearful. But I do know what you're talking about. I didn't feel fear, but I felt the force field, if you will. I couldn't go any further, and it almost felt like I'd been electrocuted in some way or something like that.
And what was the event? Was it a UFO sighting, or was it ghosts, or what was the event where you ran into that field? Because Chris Bledsoe describes that pretty clearly. The things landed in these trees, and he's on his haunches, and he's crawling under these trees, and he gets to a point, and anything. Can't get farther, and he goes back, and then he thinks, "No, this is crazy. I'm going back in there." Goes back in, and he gets a certain point, and he can't go past that. So, what was your event that involved the field?
Yeah, so this happened recently. It was towards the beginning of 2023, and we were at the Bradshaw Ranch near Sedona, Arizona, okay, which is kind of getting some more popularity now because of the Skinwalker Ranch show, but it's very identical almost to the Skinwalker Ranch property, where there's old homesteads. There's all these, you know, reports of activities for decades going on there. We were there. We met up, like I mentioned before, we've been working with some mediums as sort of another avenue of exploring this whole thing. I mean, it works for ghosts, so why not try it for this too? Yeah. And we met up with the medium, and they had just seen the Bigfoot creature up on this hillside. So I had them take me there. I had seen the creature there a few months earlier. It was my one and only actual visual sighting, was at that ranch. So I knew it was there. And we just kind of followed our instincts on where to go exactly. And as we got up into this little clearing, and her name's CJ. She said, do you see the shimmering right there? And I couldn't really see it. I'm not really that intuitive, I guess. But she could see something shimmering there. And I could sense something was going on. I felt uneasy. So I walked over to where the area was that was shimmering. And she's like, okay, just step back a little bit, but you're standing right where it was. So I walked back towards the direction it went, and I came across this like waist high little barbed wire fence. Decided that was as far as I was going to go. But on the other side of the fence was this big, wide, like weeping willow type tree. And I just knew that it was right behind the tree, and I couldn't really get there because of the fence in the way. And right at that moment, from probably just above my eyebrows here, the whole top of my head just tingled. Wow. And I was just frozen. And like I said, it felt like I'd been hit with 1,000 volts or like I'd tased or something. It was just, probably maybe 10 or 15 seconds where I just couldn't really move. And then it was over. And I felt calm. I was not really too concerned. I was confused. But so I went back and I talked to CJ and explained what happened. And we did some more stuff that day. And then we went back to our respective places for the evening. And me and my father-in-law had an Airbnb we had rented out there in Sedona. And that whole night I was balled up in the corner in the bedroom, just sick. Headache. I was just really affected deeply about it. Yeah, it was all I could do to not lose my lunch. And the next day I got up and I felt drained, and it was all I could do to push myself. But we went back to the site and I met up with CJ and I was telling her what happened. And she says, well, before you get going on that, she's like, I want to tell you that I've been communicating, you know, sort of in my dreams and stuff with these creatures. And I said, okay. Well, they came to me last night and they said that they tried to communicate with you, but your brain blocked it. So she's like, they didn't mean to do that to you, but they said you need to open up because they want to talk to you. So I didn't know what to take of that. I still don't know what to take of that. But
did she mention that before you told her you were sick?
No. And then I went into my story. I'm like, God, I mean, I feel terrible. I was sick all night long. And she said, yeah, the first time I came here, which was a couple years earlier, she said, I had the same experience where I was really, really felt ill and everything after leaving there. So,
wow. That's an interesting perspective of people describing things that they would see as sort of malevolent. And yet when you interpret it, it could be something completely different that they're just trying to get through to you, and you're blocking it through fear or whatever.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's not so much fear, but it's more about, I just struggle with, letting other people into my brain.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with that.
have you had the, talking about all these weird things, like you go back to the hotel or the Airbnb, have you had the hitchhiker effect in any of the paranormal stuff that people talk about?
Yeah, people always they warn me about it and I said, "Are you kidding me? This is like this happens to me all the time. It's great. It's fine." Yeah, I have things happen. I've had it many times. Had things happen at the house after I get back home, and they seem to linger around for a few days. And nothing bad ever happens, and they seem to go away. When I got back from the Owl Moon Lab, actually, let me back up. When I was out at the Alamo Lab, Tobe Johnson played me some audio and that they had recorded in this shed overnight when no one was around. And it sounded like a woman repeating some word in some other language over and over and over again. So when I got home from the Owl Moon Lab, that first night I was home, I went to bed when I got home because I was exhausted. And my wife was up. She was downstairs working on the computer and stuff. So I was asleep upstairs. And in the morning, she's like, were you playing some weird sounds upstairs last night? I was like, no. When I went upstairs, I was asleep. She said, yeah, I heard some stuff. Some weird sounds that sound like a woman repeating like a word over and over again. I said, wait a minute. So I got a hold of Tobe and he sent me the clip and I played it for my wife. I said, does it sound like this? She's like, yeah, that's exactly what I heard. So we, whatever that was in the Owl Moon Lab, it was here.
Wow. And a related question, Brandon Fugel talks about it. I've talked about it a number of times. is this idea that the phenomena is reflective of your attitude. So Brandon Fugel always warns people, before you go on the ranch, make sure you got your head and screwed on right, and you respect this phenomena, because it will take you down if you go in there with the wrong kind of attitude. Do you find that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. I also believe that there's a little bit of that. If you're a Bigfoot researcher and you're going in the woods looking for a monster that rips people apart, when you have an encounter, it's going to scare the crap out of you. But if you go in there looking for an unknown, you don't know what to expect, and you're open to it. From my experiences, it's very pleasant. And even like rock throwing incidents I've had on a number of occasions have never been threatening to me. It's always been exciting. Like they're interacting with us. Like, this is what I live for. These, you know, contact, I made contact with a Bigfoot. It's not trying to hurt me. It's trying to get my attention, you know?
I'm glad you backed that. Cause I always make the joke about the three special forces guys. And it's like, they go and say, we're going to play Hunt the Skinwalker. And the phenomena goes, oh, we'd love to play that game.
Right.
And these guys, they're so scared. They never go back to the ranch. They're just terrified. But it's this reflective nature that people, they always want to think there's a phenomena out there independent of us, and forgetting that you are part of whatever what is going on here.
And that's very important. I'm glad you said that, because I do believe, you know, in order to have a Bigfoot sighting, you need two things. You need a Bigfoot and you need someone to sight it. Yeah. So, you know, I think our involvement in this creates the encounter. If I'm not there doing what I'm doing, maybe it doesn't happen.
And tell me about your one sighting, the one sighting you had.
Let me finish my thought real quick on that, though. Okay. You know, I don't think that if I wasn't there, Bigfoot would be in that same spot. Like, he was there because I was there.
Yeah.
So it was at Bradshaw Ranch. This would have been a few months earlier in the fall of 22, I believe. It's all blurring together now. We were with a local guy that he's been researching it very heavily, and we were working with him. He took us down there, and we were doing some paranormal type investigations in the homesteads there. So we were in the old homestead. We had a REM pod, which is sort of a EMF interactive device. And then we had a spirit box, which plays the white noise kind of radio, and you can hear voices through it. We were working with both of those on the floor of this old adobe house. I was asking some questions and things, and I was asking some questions, kind of leaned over talking into the box, and nothing was really happening. And then the guy we were with started asking questions, and in my mind, I thought, well, he comes here all the time, maybe they'll talk to him. So I'm just going to shut up and let him talk. Yeah. And I kind of backed up. And when I stood up, I happened to be standing right in line with the window, and it's probably 10 o'clock at night, and I'm looking outside, and I'm just, wait a minute, what am I looking at? And I was just transfixed on it. Now, we were filming in our investigation. So right over to my right, it's kind of backwards in the camera up here, but there was a cameraman, but I was so entranced with what was happening, I couldn't be like, turn the camera out the window. Yeah. I'm staring at this, trying to figure out what it is. So it's this really, it didn't make sense. It was super wide, but it was only maybe like five and a half feet tall. And I'm trying to compute in my brain, why is it so big, but not tall? I mean, it looks like this, I'm looking at a Bigfoot, but why isn't it, you know, the 7-foot monster that we all hear about? What is wrong here? It just, something doesn't look right. And as I'm watching it, it was right in the center of my view. And then all of a sudden it was over here. I didn't see it move. It was almost like I blinked and it was here. And then it went to the right, and it kind of did that a few times and it was gone. And the whole time I'm just transfixed. I'm just staring right at it, blinking. I'm trying to can't believe my eyes. So a couple things that are interesting here is, after the fact, when we were looking at the video, there were these orbs of light that were coming from the direction of the creature right into me that we picked up on the camera. Wow. Just a flow of these things. And then another thing that was interesting was, there's another window off to the side, and that was the side that I last saw it. You could see two balls of light go past that window right after I saw the creature leave. So it was either eyes leaving or some sort of energy from it or something that we detected outside. And then the last piece was, go ahead.
Oh, no, just the color of the orbs. Were they like white orbs or different colors? You had the blue meanies, did you?
No. Well, the downside to identifying color is this was all filmed with the video camera at night in infrared mode, so everything looked green. So I don't know. But
the camera did pick up the orbs.
Yeah, for sure. And then when we got back in the car, I was describing to the guy that lives out there, you know, what I saw. And he's like, well, have you seen my photo? And I said, well, no. So he showed it to me. We're both sitting in the back of the car. And as soon as he brought it up, I started punching him in the arm. I'm like, oh, my God, that's it. That's what I saw. And he's like, yeah, I took that a few weeks ago just on the other side of that Adobe house.
Wow.
And I'll bring up that photo. This photo is from our friend Jürgen Hess. This is his photo.
Wow.
And it's a crazy photo, and I'll explain to you why the creature looked weird, and it should be obvious, but I'll talk it through here. So this is the photo.
How did he get the photo?
He was just taking flash photos outside this homestead trying to catch ghosts.
Okay.
So can you see it?
Yeah, on the left there.
So over here on the left we have this anomaly. So if you kind of zoom in on this thing, not to get too crazy, but it looks like we got two eyes, a big conical head sitting sort of on top of these super huge broad shoulders, which is exactly what I saw. So the reason that it wasn't this tall is because it's hunched over.
Hunched over, yeah. Yeah, he is hunched over.
And that's exactly what I saw.
But did you see the eyes like that?
Well, no, because I didn't have anything. I wasn't pointing any light at it or anything.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. This is reflecting light off the camera.
Yeah. But I could clearly make out, and it's the classic. And I get now why. And I've heard people. I've been with people when they've seen what they call the linebacker, and now I get it. Now I understand why they call it the linebacker, because it really does look like a big football player.
Fascinating. And so this is near the Bradshaw Ranch. This is here.
This is directly in. This is the newer homestead in the Bradshaw Ranch. Yeah, this is inside the property.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Exciting life. That's why I called the Super Bowl. I said, you know, most people don't know haven't got a clue what's going on. And we're not only know there's a game, we're in the stadium and on the field. What could you more ask for than the life we live in terms of chasing this stuff that tells you the world is this magnificent place that people don't even realize what's going on.
Yeah. And I really believe, because I've had many, many encounters. We could talk for hours about the different things I've been through. But they've all had this personalness to them. They're very personal. It wasn't like, oh my God, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. These were all for me. Like, that's what I really believe, that these things happen for me, almost like some sort of message in some way. And I think you were kind of onto it at the beginning of this program. I think the whole idea is they're trying to make us understand that we are not just people on Earth on TikTok and YouTube and going to our daily jobs and playing mini golf. And we are part of a very, very connected, huge universe that expands beyond this planet. And we are all part of that. And I think the whole idea is that when we understand that, we will kind of get ourselves in line and stop all this nonsense that we do as humans.
And you feel, I always ask UFO experiencers, the people who have interaction with beings, do they believe they have a mission? And they'll usually say, yeah, I am really not sure what it is, but I think I got a mission. Or they'll tell you, they'll go into the Messiah thing and tell you exactly what the mission is. So you mentioned this thing, this relationship between you and it. So do you feel that this is part of your role, that they want you to put this material out to enlighten people?
Absolutely. I feel like, because for a long time, you know, I did a lot of filming before I met my father-in-law and before I moved out to Colorado. I'm from Ohio originally.
Okay.
And, you know, it seemed like every time you turn the camera on, everything stopped. You know, you hear that from a lot of people.
Yeah.
But since we sort of got on this thread and we started kind of getting with the program, now when we turn the camera on, things seem to happen for us. And it's almost way too coincidental that we capture the things that we do. And we really believe that it's because we're trying to tell the story the right way. So we're given enough of that evidence to tell the story. And hopefully, you know, we can reach more people and people can start to understand. Don't be scared of what's out there. Once you embrace that, you will learn to embrace your inner self and your bigger self and your whole self. And you'll find a whole lot about you and the world you live in. And it's really enlightening. It has been for me. It's changed my life in many, many ways to be more open and more understanding of just everything.
Wow. Fascinating. And the other thing that people will bring up is this idea that they give you just enough. They don't like land on the White House lawn and give you a big long lecture as to what's going on. They sort of like, as Jim Semivan, the CIA guy says, the high level CIA guy says, they'll do this, they'll do that, but they'll never take you home to meet the family. They're never going to do that. And it's sort of like they're using the breadcrumb thing, and they're getting you to tell the story, but they don't give you absolute 100% proof in terms of evidence. But they give you enough where you can sort of tell a story and you know this is for real.
Right. And the reason I believe is it's enough to keep you going, like you said. Yeah. It's enough for you to learn from. And so that the next time you have an encounter, maybe it's a little different. You learn something different from it. But I think it's all kind of guiding us to that place of sort of just understanding and openness to more and more and more. And I found that, and Tom Powell has put this in my head, that when you start to study them, it feels like they start studying you. Yeah. It's really true in some ways, but I think it's more leading and guiding than it is anything else.
Wow. Absolutely fascinating. And so you're working on what now?
I've got a number of projects in the works. I've got a couple Bigfoot films that I'm currently filming, not titled yet. And then I began filming here pretty soon, in the next few weeks, I think, on another property we have in Wyoming that's similar to these hot spots that we've been going to, where a lot of activity of different natures is all happening in one place. So we're really interested in those places. We think that's the key to kind of unlocking a little bit more of this. I'm hoping to have a UFO drop a Bigfoot off in front of me someday.
So what would you say? And you must have gotten a lot of people talk about the mutilations, because every time you bring up the good, bad aliens, I always say, what about the mutilations? So you face to face with this phenomena. How do you interpret the mutilation phenomena?
Well, it was a range of emotions. First, it was shocking because just of what it was and the way it was presented. And then it was sort of exciting because we realized it is a gift. It's literally in our gifting site. We gave a gift. We got a gift back. And that's how we see it. I think I don't think it was meant to scare or shock. I think it was meant to kind of show the power of what we could do as people, that we do have the ability to look beyond our minds and communicate with these beings and learn from them. I think it was sort of a big breadcrumb of you're doing the right thing. So here's a gift for you to carry that message on.
Wow. And what's been the reaction to the film? Did you get a lot of leads and reaction? Because that is a pretty dramatic story in terms of what you got. What was the feedback?
Yeah, no, we've gotten a lot of feedback. A lot of people like it. Each film we do seems to open up other opportunities. We've had some amazing experiences. You talked about Skinwalker Ranch. We actually flew out to Las Vegas and we interviewed Colonel John Alexander at his home out there. And he was the military presence at Skinwalker Ranch for many years. And he invited us to his house and we interviewed him and got some really good insight from him on things. And so we've had a lot of really great opportunities come.
So what did John, I know John, he's sort of on the inside on a lot of this stuff. And he, as you said, he was the guy that started the Skinwalker Ranch with Bigelow.
Yeah.
What was kind of insights he gave you as to, did you describe this case with the, or had it happened yet? And what was his reaction or feedback in terms of, because he's the one, I think, with Gaia TV, they told the story where they were in the parking lot and he was kept asking, what about the UFOs? He said, it's not about the UFOs, it's about the portals. And he got in his car and drove away.
Yeah.
So sometimes John will say things. He seems to have some, what kind of insights did he give you that helped you out?
He was also, there was a character in the movie, Men Who Stare at Goats, that was a representation of him.
Yeah.
He's very well known. No, he confirmed everything that we just talked about and that we believe. And he said these things he's seen and these things are real and they will interact with you. They can put thoughts in your head and all these different things. It's a real phenomenon for sure. He confirmed all of it.
Wow. And where would you go with the whole, what would be your theory of reality? What do you think is sort of the end result? Is this part of why now, you know, and just your general thoughts on how the world works? What would you say?
As far as why now, you mean like, why are these experiences happening?
Well, who are we dealing with? What's the message? You know, with nature reality, because I always say the nature reality comes down to, you know, the idea that it's not a physical world and they're in this plastic type world where they can do things that we can't do. They say you can do it too. You just locked in your own little world and you can't, you know, you can do the same sort of stuff. And they're just giving us messages. So what would be your general take on how life works and what's going on? Because as I said, I call it the Super Bowl. It's the biggest story. If you realize what's going on, this is the biggest story of all times. And it's very meaningful. Even if you don't know what's going on, it's significant that we understand this and take clues. So your idea of what's going on in the world.
Yeah. Well, I will preface what I'm about to say with this is constantly evolving as I have more experiences. So what I felt a year ago is probably much different now. So I don't know where it goes. I don't have the answer, but my feeling is that there is a bigger universe out there. There is a place that we go when we aren't here anymore. You know, it's referred to as a lot of different things. And I think it's all talking about the same thing. Be it an afterlife or heaven or whatever you want to call it, I think it we're all talking about the same thing. I think it's real. I think it's a place, another plane of existence that we have once we are done in these bodies and in this world. And I think you know, we're here to learn lessons. And I think that a lot of us, most of us, have gotten so far off track from those messages that were those lessons that we're supposed to learn. I think these things are trying to help us kind of get back on track and preparing us for what's to come. Not really in this world, but in the world beyond. I really think that's where this is all going.
Beautiful. And Sasquatch, you'd put them sort of like in an interdimensional, because the original idea was they're hiding in these forests and stuff. Would you put them in an interdimensional category where they're lowering vibration coming in? And what's the relationship to UFOs? You've mentioned a couple situations with UFOs. Is there a connection?
Yeah. My current thinking is that interdimensional is probably the best way for us to conceptualize it. It's probably not accurate, but it's the closest we have. They can be here. And then they can go somewhere else, sort of at will. And I think we see that capability in what we would call ghosts. And I think we see that capability in what we would call UFOs or even aliens. So to me, I think it's all the same thing. It's just either how we're perceiving it or how it's being shown to us. But I think whatever's behind all this is the same. It's all the same thing.
Beautiful. Now let's maybe go a little bit into some of the other stuff in terms of ghosts. Can you give me a couple of extremely significant ghost cases that you've run across and what percentage of your research would be in that category in terms of, say, compared to Sasquatch?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's probably over my lifespan of doing this, it's probably about 50-50 now, I would say.
Oh, is that right?
Because I started out doing paranormal stuff, then I kind of got the, into the Bigfoot stuff, and I did that pretty exclusively for quite a while. And then as Bigfoot and paranormal started to mesh together, I just kind of do it all at once, basically. But yeah, I've had some pretty profound paranormal experiences. We just released a film beginning of this year called A Haunting in Blue Hill, based on a case that we worked in Blue Hill, Nebraska. And it involves some haunted items, but what really struck me was in the house, it's an old farmhouse in the middle of this small little town in Nebraska. We had these encounters in the basement with the guy that owns the house now. The woman that used to live there died of cancer in the home a few years before we started this case. Her and her family are probably the ones we made contact with. But what was really interesting was, I asked a couple questions. I don't remember what I said, but it just plainly said, we were talking with a spirit box. We had a REM pod going, and it was interacting with the spirit box. So as answers were coming through, the REM pod would spike.
What's a REM pod?
So a REM pod's a little cylindrical device that has an antenna on it that emits an electromagnetic field.
Okay.
And if you manipulate that field, there's some LEDs that will light up. So as you get closer to the antenna, the pitch and the color of the LEDs intensifies.
Okay.
So when you ask a question, we hear a voice say, yes, the REM pod was like, weep.
Yeah.
right in sync with it. And then it went off and it was just going crazy. And I said, all right, back away from the REM pod, and then would stop. So we were having all these interactions. So I asked a question about sort of my involvement with these haunted items. And it said my name out of the spirit box, and the REM pod went, and then something went like that right on my ear, all at the same time.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. And it kind of left me speechless. So I looked to my friend, his name's Kenny. And I was like, do you want to ask some questions? I need a minute. It just, that whole interaction just, it affected me, took my breath away.
Yeah.
So he was suspecting we were talking with Ruby, who's the lady that, the woman that died there. So he was like, Ruby, is that you? And through the spirit box and the REM pod at the same time, it said, Kenny. And this is his house now. And he sort of broke down. It was a really emotional moment for him. He felt pretty blown away that it was acknowledgement that, yes, he was really talking with the previous owner of the house. So it was pretty fantastic.
Wow. So you must spend some money, because you seem to be traveling around and spending a lot of resources to do this.
Yeah, we definitely spend what we make.
This is not your full-time job, though.
Not at all. I'm an engineer for 40 hours a week, and then I'm a paranormal guy on the weekends.
There you go. That's what you need, an engineer, a left brain guy, because you know they can't accuse you of being like the woo-woo right brain. You're an engineer, so you're rational, and you go according to numbers, and it's gotta make sense.
Yeah, and I do want to comment on that. Thanks for bringing that up. When I started looking for Bigfoot, I really wanted to find that animal, and I really wanted it to be that animal. I don't want it to be this. I really don't. This is a whole nother. I didn't bargain for all this, but I'm not afraid. I'm not running away from it. I'm open to what's happening, and I'm willing to accept what I'm given. But yeah, I did not. This is not what I wanted.
So what was the event? Because my event was, I used to, if you know my story, I used to chase the president and CIA and nuts and bolts and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then I had this, watching Colin Andrews give a lecture, I had this sort of download thing and said, it's all consciousness. And it's like, what? And so what was your event that sort of, where it sort of the it ripped apart, where your worldview shifted and you suddenly realized, wow, this is not what I thought it was going to be?
Well, it was happening slowly up until a point. And this was also, again, out in Oregon. We were actually at Tom Powell's property just outside Portland. Oregon City, I think. It's right on the river there. But he's got this little patch of woods in the back, and he's had Bigfoot encounters there. Even though when you look at it, you go, I don't understand. But trust me, you don't need a lot of woods, as you already said. Yeah. So he has a bench back there, and he believes there's a portal area. So the trail is kind of matted down in a circular pattern, and there's a little bench you can sit there. So I met a medium, a friend of Tom's. Her name's Tish Paquette. She was working with me that weekend that we were out there, trying to help me open my mind, because I told her I think I'm missing stuff. Like, things are happening, and I realize they are happening, but I'm not getting it, and I need help to try to figure this out. So she's like, all right. So that night, she took just me and her. We went back down this trail, and we sat on the bench. And I closed my eyes, and she kind of, it wasn't really a meditation, but it was, you know, we were eyes closed as if we were meditating. And it was only a couple seconds after we closed our eyes, we heard a noise. There's a pretty steep hill back at the, you know, not too far behind the bench. And then we heard a noise, a significant noise at the top above our left shoulders. And she's like, I can visualize it. She's a very well-known, she is a full-time medium. She does that as her spirituality, as her profession. So she's very well-known in that. She says, I can see the Sentinel. It's a Sentinel Bigfoot. We had some other friends at a campfire nearby, and she said it knows who you are, why you're here. It's keeping an eye on things. It sees us here. And then all of a sudden I heard a noise over my right shoulder. And it was footsteps, and it was gentle, but it was like boom, boom, getting closer and closer. And she's like, the Sentinel told the other one it was okay to come close to you. They know why you're here. They know who you are. So she's like, just be calm and just keep your eyes closed. And this thing walked up to what I would estimate to be maybe 5 or 6 feet over my right shoulder. I heard it stop. I was ready for it to touch me because people have been touched back there. But instead, right in the center of my chest, I felt this swirling, and it was warm, and it got warmer and warmer, and to the point where it was like this hug from the inside.
Wow!
And it felt amazing. I was like, wow. And then Tish starts laughing. She's like, it's showing me images of little Bigfoot, and they're playing in these woods. She says, they're not here right now. They're down further. But this Bigfoot has a family out here. It's giving me mental images of them playing in the trees and things. And she's just laughing. She's enjoying it. And I'm getting this internal hug. And then it stopped. The sensation faded. And I opened my eyes. And the first thing I noticed was I could see. No flashlights. Were in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night, and everything was like a light white gray. It was like the woods were glowing. I could see. So I looked over my shoulder, and there was nothing there. Whatever it was didn't just leave. It was just gone. It didn't walk away or anything. And I felt really good. And I sat there for a few minutes, just kind of taking it all in. And then as we walked out, we just got out of the woods. I mean, like two steps out of the woods, and we heard a big footstep and a tree snap behind us, right behind us. So it had followed us out. And I knew then, I just knew everything that had happened was real. And it touched me in such a way that I knew I could have a connection with these things, not just get a blurry picture of some blob in the woods, but you could have a real inner encounter, a real connection with it. So,
wow. I'll have to look at your stuff, and maybe we'll do another interview down the road. You're a fascinating guy. Last question, because we've been going for hour and a quarter now. Last question. I wrote a book on portals. I chase some intelligence people who I think know about portals, sort of indicating that it isn't what people think it is. It's more this portal thing rather than the anti-gravity thing. So say a little bit about your idea about portals, because you've mentioned them a few times during our interview.
Yeah. So again, I do believe that we've been in an area where there's been an active portal. There's actually an area, Bradshaw Ranch, where we believe we filmed it. That film will be out maybe tomorrow. Yeah, our Bradshaw Ranch film comes out very soon. I'm not sure the exact date, but it should be out everywhere. Amazon, you'll definitely want to see that.
Oh, well, make sure you send me the link for that. So I was.
Yeah. Once I get the link, I'll have to send it over.
Yeah.
But there's an area in between those two homesteads, which is pretty much right in front of where that creature was filmed. And it's called the, I don't know, it's the area of high strangeness. It's the place where everything seems to center around. So our friend CJ was there, and she walked, there's a little trail that goes, it's kind of a driveway almost. And she walked down there and said, whoa, something's way wrong here. I'm all out of whack. I feel really dizzy and everything. So I got out my thermal, which is one of those handheld ones. I have a monocle too, but one of those handheld ones, and I hold it up and I can see this giant circle cold spot right where she was standing, but up in the air. And then I noticed that the thermal was locking on this heat signature and it was bouncing around. So there was a hot dot in the middle of this cold circle. And we believe that to be the portal. And at one point we had set up a trail cam facing that portal, and we left it up a couple days, and we actually have video of, we weren't even there at the property when we got this video. It was completely empty at the time. Thousands and thousands of little balls of light coming out of that portal towards the camera. Just like, it almost looked like snow. There was just millions of these little dots. And then the last video that we have on the trail camera from our last night there, just as we were leaving, all of those dots were going the other way back into the portal.
Oh my goodness. That's it. That's in this new documentary.
Yes.
Oh, fascinating. Cause I don't know if you know the story. I met the elusive Tim Taylor, the guy from NASA. And he showed me some photographs, and he said, you know where this is? And it was these two guys flying through space on a painting. And I said, nah, I don't know what that is, you know. And he said, what do you think? And I don't know, it means nothing to me. And then he shows me what you're describing, these balls, a painting of these balls all going down into this, like a tunnel, big ones going, yeah, the smaller ones to go down there. And I said, I don't know what that is. And then he shows me a couple other photographs of, you know, stuff, eclipses and stuff. He said, you know where these paintings are? And I said, no, I don't know where they are. He said, they're at the Hughes Aircraft Building outside of LAX. And I said, oh, still don't know what you're talking about. I have no clue. He said, you know what was there? I said, no. I don't know if he said, you know what was there, or the rumor what was there. And that's where the jump room was, the CIA jump room, where they went to Mars, that whole story. And I said, really? And he said, you know the one with the two guys flying through? You know where that is? I said, no. He said, it's right outside the elevator. And I said, really? So the first time I went to LA, that's exactly where I went. It's 999 Sepulveda Avenue, and it's been turned into an office building. And sure enough, here's the same paintings that he showed me. And then it was a couple of years later, I'm suddenly thinking, like, this is one of the top guys that knows the whole paranormal mystery or whatever. He's talking to the beings. He's getting these inventions and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, what was Tim Taylor doing at this building? I mean, if this was a garbage story that some guy made up about going to Mars in this jump room, why was he in this building? Why was he taking these photographs? He must have believed there was something to it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone to LAX and checked this thing out. So when you mentioned the thing about the balls, I would love to see that, because that's exactly the painting he showed me. It was kind of bizarre. And I don't know if it really meant anything, but fascinating. And do you believe that people can go into the portal, that people can, and what's on the other side of the portal?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much time you have here, but I think it's quite possible I've been to the other side.
Okay. Well, let's keep going then. This is what I'm working on. In fact, I'm working with a film guy right now, and this is part of the story. Is this true? I mean,
But it's a little underwhelming in some ways, because I didn't really realize what happened until later. But so one of the things that we sort of latched onto recently here is this idea of like the Native American connection, and we found this Native American spirit tree that we believe maybe has a key to it. So we've been messing around with that a little bit. There's a whole nother film we actually did on that as part
That's
of
in Colorado.
As part of a film called The Bigfoot of Bailey, Colorado, we touched on this.
Okay.
But me and my father-in-law did a sort of a mini little meditation with this Native American spirit tree. And it's been proven to be a Native American spirit tree. Some of the local natives have come and said, that their ancestors, knew about this tree. And so anyway, we were both facing each other. So the tree's in the middle, my father-in-law's facing this way, I'm facing this way. And we're holding on the tree and we got our eyes closed. And I just remember, I could sense something was off during this little meditation. It was all like five minutes or less. And I started hearing all these noises, like trees snapping and water splashing and all this kind of chaos. And then I envisioned behind me, right behind me, I envisioned this figure and I could see the outline that was towering above me just in my mind. Like I never turned around and actually saw it, but I could visualize this figure directly behind me. And I opened my eyes and my father-in-law opens his eyes and he's like, there's a creature behind you. And I was like, I know there is. I can sense it. So then he's like, when I opened my eyes, he said, I saw this Bigfoot directly behind you and you were going in and out. Like I wasn't quite there. So the noises and things that I heard were not from this world. I was phasing in and out with this creature. It had enveloped me in this energy, and momentarily, anyway, I was somewhere else.
Wow, fascinating! And that's the stuff that gets you going. And then you're trying to figure it out, and it sort of drags you farther down. And it's this mystery that they're leading us on that you couldn't get out of it if you tried. I mean, you just get so enveloped with the whole thing.
I know. And like I said, I'm not asking for any of this. This is not where I want to be. It really isn't. It's freaky and it's hard to talk about because a lot of people, they don't understand this and they want to just label this as a bunch of nonsense, but I'm not telling tall tales. I can promise you these are things that really happened to me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it means. I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to help other people understand it. And it's all just a big lifelong journey now. So,
and you, I think you're playing an important role in terms of the fact that if you go face to face with someone and tell them these stories, they'll look at you like you're crazy. But if you put your documentary and they turn on the TV, they'll say, they watched this crazy thing. It's nonsense. And they sit there and watch it and the skepticism goes down and they subconsciously get programmed. So I think that's an important thing that I've found, is that the phenomena seems to want to deal with people who are film people that are able to tell the story. Even the CIA, I think, wants film people. Right. And what they want to do is direct the story, get ahead of the story, and they want it. Nobody's going to confirm it. But a lot of this stuff going back for years has been done by filmmakers that gradually change the zeitgeist where it's going up, where rather than this confrontational face-to-face thing, it's being done indirectly and people are being programmed whether they know it or not.
Absolutely. And the other thing that we've really tried to do is we've increased the amount of equipment that we buy. And there's two reasons for that. One is it seems to help us understand the interaction more, but we're collecting data, whether you want to believe this is real data or not. We're collecting data. We have electromagnetic energy measurements. We have a magnetic measure. I mean, we have real data that can show that some sort of anomaly is happening, and that we don't have all the answers, but it's real. Something's going on.
Wow. Absolutely fascinating. I'm so glad I got to interview and to hear the story. And I'm going to look at some of your stuff and I'd like to do this again. And maybe I'll bring my friend Ron Johnson, who's a big Sasquatch guy out of Utah, who's got all the crossover experiences of 50 years, and his health isn't great, but I'm going to send the first person I'm sending this to is to him. It's like, Ron, because he's lived a life like you. Like he's just sort of riveted into the ghosts and the Sasquatch. And then he's got these experiences, which he didn't ask for. And they're happening to him, UFO experiences and a being and stuff like that. And it's fascinating story. I'm still trying to push him to get his book out. To say, come on, Ron. Very few people are going to read it because you're worried about all the mistakes in the book. And it's like, no, nobody's going to read it anyway. You got to document it and get it out there. So I'm glad you're doing that and doing it in this film way that people aren't really offended. They can indirectly have nothing better to do. They look at it, figuring nothing's going to change, and it changes them because their defenses are down. So,
yep, for sure. And I think some of what we have is compelling. It's, I mean, you if you just are not going to believe it, you're not going to believe it. That's fine. But if you're thinking about it, I think we've got some pretty good stuff that'll help you.
Yeah. Yeah. You've even changed my mind on a few things. I mean, I didn't realize it was quite as intense in terms of research and the equipment you guys have and stuff like that, that you guys take it pretty seriously in terms of trying to document it. And you're the expert guy because you're the engineer. That's what you would want in terms of somebody that's actually gathering the evidence. It's not like they're going to come and argue you don't know what you're doing.
I hope not.
Well, thanks a lot. And send me the links and I'll make sure I get the links on there. And hopefully it helps share your message. And I'd love to do this again. I'm just absolutely fascinated with the stories that you told. And it is one of the better stories. I said, I've just got to get this in the book because Ron had an experience with, I sent you a copy of the book, but I don't think I put that in there where the Sasquatch take him to a cave and there's a deer in there and they're ripping this deer apart and eating and the family's there and stuff like that. Okay. And he tells that story. And so when I heard your story, I'm going, hey, it's a Sasquatch and a deer again. It's like, it's pretty, pretty interesting. So thanks a lot. And hopefully we can talk again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Love your research.
Thank you.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.